My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. When I was a child growing up in the 1950s, I displayed unusual awareness, knowledge, and abilities. I was given labels like gifted and precocious by teachers and counselors, labels that made me feel awkward and different and very often alone. I found friendship with other kids who also possessed these attributes, and we collectively seemed to have been born with knowledge and gifts that were not connected to our postnatal life experience, but were sourced before being born into this lifetime. How was and is this possible? Do pre-birth memories exist? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Diane Brandon, also has been spiritually aware since birth. Diane has had a lifelong interest in metaphysics and has studied it for more than 45 years. She's been a member of Intelligentsia Metaphysica, Mensa, and the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Diane has been working professionally as an integrative intuitive counselor since 1992. She's an expert on intuition, having researched its inner workings, and has taught it extensively in classes, workshops, seminars, private lessons, continuing education at both Duke University and the University of Memphis, in addition to teaching it in corporate seminars. She also specializes in dream interpretation and dream work, and teaches wellness classes on sleep and dreams and stress relief via guided meditation. She's the author of Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Intuition for Beginners, and Invisible Blueprints. And she joins us this evening to discuss her brand new book, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Please welcome Diane Brandon. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Victor. It is so nice to be with you.
And lovely to have you back on again. We last interviewed you a couple of years ago, and it's been a while, and I'm so wonderful to reconnect with you and talk about your great new book.
Oh, thank you, Victor. It's wonderful to connect with you again.
Thank you. So, Diane, please share your personal story with our listeners and your experience of being born aware.
Okay, Victor. We're going to jump right in.
There you go.
I have always remembered what I thought when I was born. I did not need to undergo regression or hypnotherapy or any other modality to reclaim the memory. I just have always remembered. I didn't know it was unusual. I didn't know that it wasn't the norm. And for me, what I remember is, and this was right after the birth, because my soul, I didn't come in until after the birth. I wasn't there, you know, throughout the pregnancy or the labor and delivery. My first thought when I got here was, I do not want to be here again.
Sorry for laughing, because I have thought that so many times in my lifetime. Why did I have to come back?
I think it's not uncommon. I remembered being with God, Source, Divine, whatever term one wants to use. Mm-hmm. And I knew that while I was here, I wasn't with God. And that was not a great thought to me. I also knew that when I wasn't here, when I was on the other side, I had absolute knowledge, and I knew that I didn't have access to it while I was here, and that bummed me out. But I knew I had to be here because there was something I was supposed to do. I thought it had to do with performing, so I pursued acting and singing for years. So that was my memory. I just never shared it with anybody, and then in 2014, within the space of a few months, two different people spontaneously shared their pre-birth memories with me. And when the first one did, I thought, oh, that makes two of us. And then when the next one did, I thought, okay, I am being given a message to write about this. So that's how all of this came about. And it just has been an incredible journey, Victor, because interviewing the people in the book and all the insights has just not only enriched my life, but opened it up in new ways. So that's a very long answer to your question.
No, not at all. I'd like to touch back on something that you said and about the implanting or the registration of the essence of who you are, that soul.
Yes.
That it didn't happen until at what point, and do you believe that's the case for all of us?
Well, with regard to when the soul comes in to the little human body, and when we're talking about human bodies, because in actuality, and you know this, we can express being in a three-dimensional place through any sort of life form.
Right.
And it's interesting because obviously before we come in, when we're on the other side, we have awareness. Our souls have awareness. I call it the higher soul awareness. And souls don't all come into the new little physical form, we'll just restrict it to humans, the human body, at the same time. So some souls will go in and out of the womb, you know, the developing body. Some will spend more time. Some will come in during the labor and delivery and experience the birth. And others, like myself, don't come in until after the birth itself. And there's another woman in the book who mentions that as well. So we don't all come in at the same time. And I personally feel that for those of us with these memories, especially when we come in after the birth, it is easier for us to have these memories. And I staunchly feel that those of us with these at-birth, pre-birth memories have been allowed to have them because they are important for what we are supposed to do while we're here. And you alluded to this, we are energetically encoded with the plan for our lives before we even come in.
Absolutely. Now, just getting back to this concept, is there a question of choice as to when the registration into the three-dimensional world takes place? Do we have that choice?
You know, I think some people may have the sense that they had a choice, just as one person in my book remembers choosing her parents. For me, this was all what I was told to do. It was not my choice. I was only doing what I was told. And there isn't necessarily, I feel, an either or. I think a lot of times we humans, in trying to understand things, want to kind of put it in little categories or little procedures. This always happens this way or that way. And I feel that it's a very, very complex and creative universe. The other thing, too, I would say in responding to that question, Victor, is that there are different levels. There are, just as we know here on this planet, just with the human species, there are different levels of understanding or orientation. On the other side, there are different levels as well. And so I think we find a lot of variability. I have never felt that I chose. I'm just a very compliant soul. Even if I grouse, I don't like it. I comply.
I think the word compliance indicates fighting against, and I think that it's more of, I believe you and I are very similar in the fact that we assume responsibility, and I think that's really more about what it's about. Not complying, but actually taking responsibility and ownership for what we're given.
Well, for me, it really is listening to what the directive was from God.
Yeah.
You know, this is something I'm supposed to do, and okay, you know, I may not be crazy about it, but I will do it. And yes, I assume the responsibility because it's what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely. Now, what other memories did you bring in to this lifetime?
Well, the most predominant one, really, Victor, is being with God on the other side, and the sense of how wonderful the other side was, even though I couldn't remember specifics aside from absolute knowledge. And I'll share this. When I read Eben Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, and when I read his description of being with God, I just jolted, because it comes the closest out of anything I have read to what I remember. And you can't always put some of this into words. So, you know, my memory is sketchy in general, except for those specific things. And the interesting thing about the people in the book with pre-birth memories is they will have different things that they remember. So we all have little different pieces of the puzzle. But even in working on the book, it has opened me up even more, you know, to some memories. And I'll give you a silly example. I love to watch talent shows because I pursued performing. So I watch America's Got Talent. And there was an act this past week, and I don't remember her name. And it was, you could call it freeform dancing. She was all in white and suspended. And some of it reminded me of some of the things we see on the other side. You never know when something's going to spark a memory of what things are like on the other side.
My guest is Diane Brandon. She's the author of the brand new book, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. And we'll be back with more of Diane in this amazing conversation on Destination Unlimited on the Om Times Radio Network after these messages.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us?
I mean, have you seen my label?
I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene, so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Join parents and experts at understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues designed to help you help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything. Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Diane Brandon. She's the author of Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. So, Diane, I began with my own personal story, and we shared a little bit of your story. And I had mentioned about how difficult it was for me to have friends and explain things to family members. How did your family and friends react to your awareness?
Oh, excellent question, Victor. I don't think my father had a problem with it, because I think he had an awareness himself, even if it wasn't completely, you know, as a born aware. He didn't share his awareness. So I think, as a matter of fact, family members said that my father was harder on me because I was the one who was most like him. So it wasn't a problem with my father. I think other family members had trouble understanding me. I was called Sarah Bernhardt when I was young.
Ooh.
And I was told that I had a vivid or wild imagination. And I remember in elementary school, and this was in second or third grade, I remember feeling very alone. You know, all the kids were playing, and I just felt very alone. And then I got a couple of other kids to kind of befriend me, so to speak. It really wasn't until, I would say, maybe sixth grade. My teacher that year was quite progressive, and she divided the class into those able and maybe less able, that I found more kids to get along with. And then in junior high, of course, you know, it was junior high on up was wonderful. You know, I had a group of friends who were the nerds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I fit in very well with the nerds, and they were not necessarily spiritual, you know, or had memories, but just being nerdy. Mm-hmm. And I think we were creative too, even if it was just, you know, creative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, I think, when I went to college as an undergrad that I felt even more unusual, because my high school was a high school just for nerds, mm-hmm. and it was a smaller school.
Sure.
And at when I went to Duke as an undergrad, the kids were very, very sophisticated, and I was just like, ooh, I don't think I fit in. So, you know, it's been very, very spotty, I would say.
And then what effect did being born aware have on your adulthood, your young adulthood?
Well, I think if anything, there was the sense that I didn't fit in with some people. There were aspects that I couldn't join in on. I could not join in on really superficial orientations or people who were into materialism or greed. And I recognized in my early 20s that I tended to shy away from people with power, because there was something about them that actually scared me.
Mm.
And, you know, when you're trying to make your way in the world in your 20s, especially, you're not sure, you know, what to do, what direction, etc. And so it's a very, very different type of time in your world. I was very fortunate, I think, because I had close friends over the years. And in actuality, when I was writing Born Aware, I found out that five people I'd known for years also had these memories, and I didn't know that.
Mm.
But I would say I felt more at ease when I was doing the performing, when I was doing theater, and especially in my 40s when I started doing the intuitive work and I started meeting more people who were spiritual. That has been a wonderful boon in my life. I don't feel weird or different anymore, because this is my norm, and I know people I can resonate with.
Absolutely.
Even if they weren't born aware.
Absolutely. I think you and I share the same tract. I think that something that we both have experienced is that, I know for me, my spiritual rebirth came in my mid to late 30s, and the opening, when you open to that, I believe the synchronicity takes place, and the universe and God give you the contacts and connections you need to move forward with that rebirth and regrowth, and I think it's a wonderful experience for those of us who are on it.
I agree, Victor, and I think the other part of this is what was available in the world, because when I was an undergrad at Duke, there was very little available. There was a book club, Universe Book Club, that had metaphysical titles, and I would get those, but people weren't talking about metaphysics or spirituality, and that really started to change in my later 30s.
Was your
into
time,
my early 40s.
Your time at Duke, was that when the Ryan Center, when Dr. Ryan was there, or is that after you graduated from Duke?
No, actually, he had been kicked off campus by that time because he was a little too controversial for Duke, and Duke was fairly conservative when I was there, but I actually visited Ryan's lab, because I certainly heard about it and I was fascinated by all such things. But at that point, he was off campus, and it was called Foundation for Research into the Nature of Man. Now it's still in Durham. Unfortunately, we lost him a number of years ago, but his daughter, Sally, is involved with it. And it's now called Rhine Research Center.
Yes.
And they're still doing some wonderful research. I've actually spoken there a few times on different topics. They're good people. They're very good people.
And for those of our listeners who are not familiar, Dr. J.B. Rhine was the person who did the fundamental investigation into extrasensory perception, originally at Duke University. And as Diane mentioned, he had been kicked off, I guess, because it was just a little too controversial for Duke. But some of the premier research into extrasensory perception was done by Dr. Rhine and his associates. Some wonderful, wonderful foundational work.
Yes, and he was known throughout the world because he was doing the pioneering work. And you can actually Google J.B. Rhine, R-H-I-N-E, and get some information on him. He was a wonderful pioneer.
Now, in your new book, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth, which was just published, you call this, what we're talking about, the born aware phenomenon. Please give us a little bit of a definition of the born aware phenomenon.
What I mean by the born aware phenomenon is that there are people who remember what they thought when they were born. And I do mean literally remember without having to reclaim those memories later on. So that's number one. Number two, even though the term is a little bit of a misnomer, what I'm talking about in the book is people who were born aware and were spiritually aware as well, meaning they knew when they were born that they came from somewhere else, that being here was temporary, that they were basically here as strangers in a strange land. Some remembering having the pre-birth memories, some knowing that there was a plan for their lives or that there was a purpose for their being here. So the people I'm talking about in the book have those memories, have those perceptions at birth, and always remember them. You know, I've come to find out that there are people who are aware at birth and remember that, but may not necessarily be spiritually aware. So we may be talking about two different phenomena. I haven't really delved into that other aspect that much at this point in time, but I'm continuing to do the research.
How different is this from people who recover early memories through things like hypnosis and regression?
Okay, that's a wonderful question, Victor. It's very, very different. Because those of us who were born aware are in the awareness, the consciousness that we have on the other side as souls. I call it the higher soul awareness. We are not in the awareness of a human. And people who then reclaim the memories through rebirthing or hypnosis, whatever modality, are in the human persona reclaiming the memories, but may not necessarily be in the higher soul awareness. So those of us who are born aware are really hybrids because, and we flip back and forth throughout our lives between what I call the higher soul awareness, which is kind of the vestige, you know, from the other side, and the human side of us, the human persona. The human persona, And if people are not in their higher soul awareness, the human persona is very encasing and limiting. Humans often can't conceive of anything beyond the awareness that they have, the consciousness. But the higher soul awareness is a totally different thing. And those of us born aware, you know, are just, it's like we're imprinted in it. And later on at some point, we start to get into the human persona.
Now, you talk about hybrids with having this split awareness. A lot of people say that we're spiritual beings having this human experience. Where does that fit in?
Well, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, but if we're primarily in the human persona, again, it's very, very limiting, because we are souls, first and foremost. We are souls. Being here is temporary. And I think for people who may not have that perspective of the other side, you know, being that soul, the higher soul awareness, tend to feel, when we talk about reincarnation, that they have the same consciousness or awareness from one lifetime to the next, which is also not true, because our persona tends to change. So the soul, the higher soul awareness it exists on a different level. Its orientation and perspective are completely different from that of the human persona. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. My guest is Diane Brandon. She's the author of the brand new book, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Diane, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about this wonderful work that you do.
Oh, thank you, Victor. My book, Born Aware, is really available just about anywhere. You can find it in bookstores, whether metaphysical, Barnes & Noble, online, with Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So it should be widely available.
And what about your website?
My website is very easy. It is dianebrandon.com, dianebrandon.com, which has contact information, the personal one-on-one work that I do with people. All of that is on my website.
Wonderful. My guest this evening, Diane Brandon, author of Born Aware, and we'll be back with more of Diane and this fascinating work on the Old Times Radio Network after these messages.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
For millions of kids across America, when school lunches end, hunger begins. And summer isn't fun when you're hungry. Are you hungry to help? Go to feedingamerica.org/hungrytohelp for ways your family can pitch in, including fun projects your kids can do to help end hunger. That's feedingamerica.org/hungrytohelp. Let's make summer the season to end hunger. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Diane Brandon, author of the new book, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Now, does your research, Diane, imply what some quantum physicists are now advocating, that consciousness as we know it is non-local and actually outside of the brain and the body?
Oh, absolutely, Victor. You know, what fascinates me is that, and it's understandable that so many scientists, because they're empirical and they're trained to be empirical, feel that consciousness is a product of the brain, of the body, and does not exist separate from the body. But I guarantee you, our consciousness is immortal. It may have different flavors to it, depending on where we are. For example, when we're here on this planet as a human, it will feel different from, again, our higher soul awareness, or it will feel different from one lifetime to the next as the persona changes. If we are in the form of an animal, our consciousness will feel different. If we're on other planets, other parts of the universe embodied, it will feel different. So, and it's non-local. Theoretically, we can tap into all those other personas and irrespective of the life form, but that might also be a little too scary or off-putting, depending upon the person. But definitely, consciousness is non-local. And even in my intuitive work with clients, you know, some people have trouble understanding that because most of the sessions I do at home are by phone, and I say it's information. And information is energy. It is not solely where you are.
How would you relate this to the Akashic records?
Well, and I think there is a similarity, Victor, and I'll be honest with you, I don't use the term Akashic records. I don't believe that there is a repository, a place where there is Akashic records. Because energy is information and information is energy, and we are bathed in it. And actually, on the other side, and this goes back to one of the things that I didn't like when I was born, not having access to absolute knowledge, because on the other side, you want to know something, and the information is there. One person in my book, Cynthia Sue Larson, referred to it as thought bubbles. You know, when you want to know something, there's a thought bubble. So it's omnipresent. It's omnipresent. It's not restricted to a certain place or a building, you know, somewhere else. It is omnipresent, which, of course, then brings up the question of, well, if it's omnipresent, why can't we just access it? And I have always felt that while we're here in a body, we're very, very limited. And I feel that we're primarily here to learn, grow, and unfold, and for the roles that we play for others. So if we could have access to absolute knowledge while we were here, would we be learning, growing, and unfolding? Does that make sense?
It would be an inhibition to what we're here to do.
Yes, right. Yes. Being here is not fun. Not always. Sometimes it is.
Now, do born awares have memories of lives on other planets other than Earth?
Some do, Victor. Some do. And that's a fascinating thing. See, again, I think some of this could be so off-putting or threatening to some people because some people are so attached to being a human. Because it's all they know. So I think we are living at a very special time in the world. It's not an easy time to be living through. As we know, there's a lot of polarization and anger these days. But I feel that we are ultimately moving forward. Consciousness is moving forward. And I feel that we're moving from what I would call a tribal mentality to a global mentality, meaning that more people are connecting with other people in the world, irrespective of nationality, race, creed, any of that, and that we're ultimately moving towards a more universal orientation. So at this point, for some people, it can be very scary to think that some people remember lives on other planets in a different life form, but yes, some people do.
So we've met the aliens, and they are us.
Yes, but you know, if you think of it as pure consciousness,
sure.
And this is one thing that those of us born aware tend to remember, and most people who are spiritually oriented, spiritually aware, know that everything and everyone is connected. Those of us born aware remember this. And it is as consciousness, it is as souls, it is as pinpoints of light. So it's not in a certain form. Excuse me, it's not in a certain gender. It is pure consciousness, pure souls.
Mm-hmm. There's such a freedom in the way you express that.
Oh, thank you.
Not being tied down to a physical form, but pure consciousness, pure awareness, and I guess pure love.
Yes, yes. And that is, again, going back to the higher soul awareness. Our higher soul awareness is just, it's transcendent. It is pure. It doesn't have all that chatter, that human chatter of, you know, the background noise. It is, it's very much in the now, but it's on a much higher level, higher perspective, where it is just consciousness and connection. So yes.
If you had to describe, this is very hard because verbal expression of what we're talking about is probably the hardest thing we can possibly do because it's truly nonverbal concepts that we're talking about. But
yes.
If you had to use a few words to tell a stranger about what it's like to be in that pure form of consciousness with God, with the creative force of the universe, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as pure awareness and connection with positive feelings, pure love and acceptance. I would also say, and to go beyond that, when we talk about God, and I'm sorry to say this, we're not God. We are offshoots. We are created by God, but if you remember being with God, God is just huge, awesome presence and energy and love and safety and security and awe-inspiring at the same time. So it can be a difficult concept, the higher soul awareness. Did that make sense, Victor?
Yes. Yeah, I had a teacher many, many years ago, a wonderful teacher, who said that we are the experiential extension of God. Does that sort of express what you're talking about?
I would say yes and no, and I have read different theological explanations for why God created humans. And I've even heard some people say that God was curious about what it would be like. Well, God does not have human qualities. And to say that God is curious about something is to ascribe human qualities. I don't understand all of it. While I'm here, I don't remember all of it. But what I do remember is that we were created by God, whether it is even to be little elves who are assisting or helping with things.
Mm.
I wish I could remember all of it, Victor, but it is, we are created by, we are offshoots of, but we do not have God's attributes. And with regard to what the rationale, the purpose was for God, the impetus, at this point, I can't remember.
Mm.
I can't remember. But it is a vast, vast, complex universe. And unfortunately, our human minds are very, very small. Even though we tend to think we're the pinnacle of creation,
absolutely,
so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yes.
A lot of people feel spiritually oriented or aware from the earliest that they can remember. Now, is that different from being born aware?
Yes, it is, Victor. And I have chewed on this long and hard. And I think the one primary difference is that those of us born aware not only tend to have pre-birth memories, but our consciousness is different because we are in the higher soul awareness. And if I were to draw an analogy, I would say let's say you are a being, a life form from another place in the universe. Your mind is different, completely different from that of your human. Your language is different, how you communicate. You come to Earth and you remember where you came from. You still have that other mind, that other vocabulary, etc., and you fully remember. And while you're here, you have to kind of learn to be a human and get that mind. That would be more what those of us born aware are like. For those who are what I call innately spiritually oriented, they come from somewhere else, and they're here on Earth, but they don't have the mind they had elsewhere. They don't have the language. It's almost as if a veil has been put over their awareness. So they have a sense of, okay, being here feels different. Things here do not feel right. I'm sure I came from somewhere else. I'm just not sure where that is. And then when they're exposed to spiritual material, then they start to go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yes.
Does
that make sense?
Yes, it becomes the epiphany. It becomes that moment of acknowledgement.
Yes, yes.
My guest is Diane Brandon. She's the author of the brand new book, Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. And we'll be back with Diane after these words from the Om Times Radio Network.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Excuse me, I know you have a 9 o'clock, so I'll keep this short. I'm the business suit in the back of your closet. You wore me nearly every day before your office went, quote, casual. I used to be the CEO of your closet. Now I'm just that one intern no one ever talks to. I always thought you'd circle back with me, get granular, keep me in the pipeline. But nada, nothing. Don't you remember the McKittrick presentation? You spilled coffee on me and I still looked amazing during the breakout talkback Q&A. So I think it's time for me to move on. I've got a great resume and I absolutely crush it in interviews, okay? Let's make this a clean break. Shift the paradigm. The only thing I ask is that you think outside the box here and do this. Take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Diane Brandon, author of Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Diane, medical science says there's no awareness at birth because the brain has not developed sufficiently. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would try to be very nice.
Of course.
But I would say, I'm sorry, but your awareness is limited because your statement is predicated on quote-unquote facts and research that are not in touch with what the reality really is, because we have a soul on the other side. A lot of scientists do believe that humans have souls, especially if they belong to a religion. But the soul already existed before birth, and the soul had awareness. So it is entirely possible for babies to be aware. And even if they're not spiritually aware, they are aware. One way or the other, they are aware. And no, we do not, some people have said, well, they don't know a language at that point. Doesn't matter. Because on the other side, we don't know English. We're not speaking English. We're not speaking words. It is, as you know, Victor, it is mind-to-mind communication. And so there is great awareness in babies. And when I say awareness, I'm not talking about an infantile awareness. It's a very, very adult, mature awareness. It is sometimes, it may be the most mature awareness in that lifetime before it gets contaminated by the human stuff.
That's true. Before the environment and socialization changes the pure thought form and makes it conform, unfortunately, to what's required in this three-dimensional world that we live in.
Yes, you put it very well.
Thank you. Now, is the personality also already developed at birth?
No, I think the blueprint for it is already there. And as a matter of fact, that's why I titled my first book Invisible Blueprints, because I feel that there is a blueprint for our essence, what I call our essence, and for what we are to experience in a lifetime. And I think it's an energetic imprint, and I feel like the natal astrological chart points that out. But the encoding already exists, but the personality does not start to develop. So going back to those of us born aware who are in our higher soul awareness, when I say that we're not in the human side yet, it's often pain, some sort of pain, whether it is emotional pain or physical pain, that jolts us out of our higher soul awareness into the human persona. And of course, the human persona, you know, starts to shape even more as we go through time from those quote unquote formative experiences. So it's the blueprint is there, but it's not in full bloom.
I think that brings up a very important question about parenting. If you have a child who's born with a clear, mature awareness, we have to be very careful of the things that we say and the way we emote when we're in the presence of that child as it develops.
Absolutely, Victor. Even in the delivery room, whether that's in a hospital or whether it's at home and with a home birth, you want to be very careful of what you say and how you act in front of a baby. Number one, you don't want to hurt the baby by saying it's an ugly baby or it doesn't look like you or whatever. You don't want to be arguing in front of the baby. The baby's picking up on all of that. It also has implications for what is done medically in hospitals. I was shocked, Victor, because I learned that years ago, and not that long ago, even surgical procedures were done on babies with no anesthetic. Because they thought, oh, you know, the nervous system isn't developed, they can't feel pain. And that is far from true. So it has a lot of implications for parents, for medical personnel. It also has implications for parents when the baby is older, is a young, very young child or toddler is starting to talk. And whether born aware or not, you know, if the baby is saying, is remembering past lives, and you don't have to be born aware to remember past lives, don't poo-poo the child. Say, oh, tell me more about that. What do you remember? If the child has what are called imaginary friends who are in actuality very real beings, don't poo-poo the child. Say, tell me more about that. Do you know where so-and-so comes from? Did you know so-and-so before? How did you know so-and-so? Another point I make in the book is the whole question of bullying is very painful. It is soul-crushing. It is another form of abuse. So born aware children are very sensitive. People who are innately spiritually oriented are sensitive. So no, bullying is not common. It is not something to be expected. It is something that is a form of abuse. And parents need to be aware of that to prevent bullying, to protect their children, and to help them out if they have been bullied. So that's another important point. So there are a lot of implications for parents as well.
What other traits or characteristics go along with being spiritually aware since birth?
That's a wonderful question. And it's interesting because when I interviewed people for my book, I then saw all these commonalities. So the first and foremost would be, of course, the higher soul awareness and the split awareness. Another commonality is that we tend to be innately aware of what I would call spiritual agency. We tend to feel guided and protected. We tend to feel that we're here to do something, even if we don't know what it is. We also remember that interconnectedness on the other side. It's not a cognitive thought or belief for us. We remember it. We tend to love animals and nature because divine energy runs through everything and everyone. And I was very surprised that born awares also tend to have a very, very strong innate sense of ethics and being principled and a sense of what is right or wrong. So we would never want to hurt others or impose on others. We tend to be somewhat humble or have humility, and we also tend to have self-esteem issues.
Absolutely.
You know, and I could share others with you. So there's and being whole-brained. That surprised me too.
Yep.
Born awares tend to embrace both, you know, the right brain, spiritual, intuitive, creative side, along with the left brain, logical, deductive side.
Now, you refer to these characteristics as higher soul awareness in the book. How can we groom and develop higher soul awareness?
Well, actually, we can. And I do go over that in the book. I have a whole list of recommendations for grooming the higher soul awareness. And, of course, the first one is always going to be to learn to meditate. And to be able to start to look at yourself very, very clearly. You remember the phrase, living consciously, clearly and objectively. I actually have a couple of exercises in my book, Intuition for Beginners, to enable people to start to go to that other level and look at themselves objectively. You want to meditate on or chew on what a pure state of mind is. I have a list of attributes in Born Aware of the higher soul awareness, so it's important to know what those are. And there are others that I go into in the book, but I also have a meditation in the book to help people get into their higher soul awareness. And I would highly recommend that meditation. One thing, too, which may be surprising to some people, is actually if you allow yourself to look into an animal's eyes when the animal is calm and not agitated or excited, that will take you directly to the higher soul awareness, because animals are very centered in that, unless they're going through something, or you know, they're frightened or something. Not when you're giving your dog a belly rub. Not that. So there are ways to groom that awareness. The whole thing is to get out of the prison of the human consciousness. you know, with its limits. That's the whole trick. But I do have a lot of recommendations in the book for that.
What would you like to say to others out there listening tonight who were born aware? Do you have a message for them?
Oh, yes, I do, Victor. Number one, you are not alone. I think many of us have not shared our memories because we didn't know, like I didn't know it was unusual, or we also sense that maybe this is something not to be discussed, or perhaps you did share them when you were really little and you were ridiculed or derided or put down. But you are not alone, and my sense is that we have, we're sprinkled throughout the world, and I feel like this is not a new phenomenon. I feel that probably more people are being born aware because of what I mentioned earlier with where consciousness is headed. And I would say, allow yourself to really chew on your memories, embrace them. Try to look for other people who have these memories, because again, you're not alone. And one client told me that Yogananda remembered being in his mother's womb. So it's not something that never happens. You are not alone. Embrace it, look for others, and enjoy it.
A wonderful message from my guest, Diane Brandon, author of Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Diane, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
You can get my book in brick and mortar stores, whether regular bookstores or metaphysical New Age stores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble online, my website is dianebrandon.com.
Thank you so much for sharing your great new work, Born Aware, and also for coming on board with me tonight, because I love talking to you. We've been apart for too long in terms of this conversation, and I'm sure we're going to have you back again in the not-too-distant future, Diane. Thank you so much, Diane Brandon. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I am Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.